Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
On this episode of Zoom and Enhance Podcast, horror movies, and more horror movies, our Halloween special with a very special guest.
Can you clear that up, Benny?
I don't know. Let's enhance it.
Enhance section A6.
I enhance the detail, and
I think there's enough to enhance. Release it to my screen.
Enhance the reflection in her eye.
Let's run this through video enhancement.
Edgar, can you enhance this?
Hang on.
Zoom in on the mirror.
Can you enhance the image from here?
Can you enhance him right here?
Can you enhance it?
Can you enhance it?
Can we enhance this?
Can you enhance it?
Hold on a second, I'll enhance.
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 Freeze and enhance.
Enhance. Enhance. Enhance. Enhance. Enhance.
Just print the damn thing!
Hello, 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 hello to one, hello to all. This is the second episode of this awesome podcast that we were actually going to call the awesomest podcast ever, but we ended up not calling it that. I have no idea why, because it's actually an awesome name, but this is Zoom and Enhance, episode number 2. I am Dan Skullcrusher.
I am Claudine Sugarburger.
And we have an awesome, awesome guest all the way from the West Coast, where it's like a completely different time, which is the way that stuff works here, which is totally bizarro. She's so far away, in fact, that right now it's not even the time that it is here. That's how far away she is. Please welcome our horror movie specialist, Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hello. Having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It is my pleasure to have you. We have been looking forward to having you here since before we had a podcast. Important to note, important to note that that we have a special guest already only in our second episode. So you know that there's great stuff yet to come.
That's
great
how special stuff. I am.
That is how special you are. Your very first guest. Also, in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm drinking Founders Breakfast Stout right now. And I would like to say that if anybody out there likes beer, right, and then you have guests over to your house, make sure that whatever beer they bring is good beer that you enjoy, because you know they're going to leave some behind, right? So then you end up with a whole bunch of beer that you don't like in your fridge. And that is the case for Founders Breakfast Stout. I really don't like it, but somebody's got to drink it, so what are you going to do?
A breakfast stout? What does that even mean? Does it taste like eggs and pancakes?
It tastes like bacon. Yeah, it's like a bacon, egg, and cheese, basically.
Awesome. Is there any maple syrup flavor? Like a McGriddle?
It's maple syrup, yes. Maple syrup on it as well. Actually, it doesn't come with the maple syrup in it. You're expected to like buy your maple syrup separately and then just mix them. So, in today's episode... And the reason that Beth is here with us, obviously, is because we want to talk about horror movies, because obviously Halloween is just around the corner. And we can all agree that Halloween is the best holiday of all. Right, Claudine? Would you agree? I mean, I know that you and I agree on that.
I would agree.
And Beth also agrees with us, right? Halloween is the best. So the hell with Christmas and the hell with the 4th of July. I don't need Martin Luther King Day. All I need is Halloween. So anyway, we're going to talk about horror movies. And I know what everybody's thinking right now out there. They're thinking, oh, so here's this girl. How does she know so much about, like, horror movies? What does she know? Well, I also know a lot about horror movies. So without trying to put you on the spot too much, Beth, let me put you on the spot and ask you, what is it about you specifically that makes you such an expert on horror movies?
Well, I don't know if I can be called an expert.
Oh, I do.
For the sake of this podcast, I am. but I have always really liked horror movies, and probably for the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, I've kept a spreadsheet of all the horror movies that I've watched. So I think that puts me into the weird sort of anal retentive horror movie fan, which perhaps is unique.
Well, can we say that at the very least, you are obsessed with horror movies.
Absolutely, yes, obsessed. And that's why I'm so excited to be here, because just to talk about horror movies with two other people that like them is so thrilling for me, because on a day-to-day basis, like, you're kind of looked at as a weirdo if you talk about the horror movie that you watched last night, like, every single day for many days in a row. And people around you that thought they liked horror movies are all of a sudden freaked out by the, like, number of times you're bringing it up on a regular basis. So it's nice to know them in good company that it feels the same way. It's always nice to also find the one or two fans that are, like, lurking amongst your office or in your normal social circle that they're not out and out, like, outspoken about horror movies, and then you find out that they love them. But it's a rare thing, so...
But it's also, obviously, I think that it's pretty weird, and I think you must admit, too, that usually women aren't big horror movie fans, although some claim that horror movies are actually made for women rather than for men. But also, you're, like, kind of like this pretty girl, like, all nice and blonde, walking around. You do not look like a horror movie fan at all. So I think maybe that must catch people by surprise, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Also, though, I love Xbox and gaming and all kinds of weird stuff. So maybe once people get to know me, it fits in perfectly.
Obviously, I mean, we've known you for years and years and years, and it seems in my head,
right. It
just fits perfectly. But I think if I look at it from an outsider's perspective, then it's a little weird. But anyway, all right. Mm-hmm. So, Beth.
Yes.
Your first horror movie that you ever watched, do you remember?
Yes, definitely. I was kind of old for it because my parents were pretty strict. So I was at a slumber party with about 10 other girls in fourth grade. And they had two horror movies they wanted to watch. And I was totally freaked out and thinking that I would want to go home because I had never watched one. So I just wasn't sure what my reaction would be, but we watched The House on Haunted Hill, the original.
What?
And
that was your first horror movie?
I was,
wow.
Yeah.
You came in through the main door.
I was totally freaked out by it and scared. I know I started with a winner.
Absolutely.
I was very freaked out by it, but like also thrilled, you know, and that's of course what everyone who loves horror movies knows, but that's why you keep watching them. You get that rush and a total thrill from watching it. So when the second one was put on, I was scared but excited to see it. And the second movie was Pet Sematary.
Wow.
And I love that one as well.
That is,
yeah.
Claudine, do you remember your first one?
So, I think I ended.
Oh my God, my horror experience, like, I'm not the horror fan that Beth is.
And nobody is.
But nobody is. I mean, like, we know Beth, and no one's on that level. You're in a league of your own. But my parents never censored me from anything other than sex on TV. So, I remember watching The Exorcist at, like... 6, 7. It was crazy.
Yeah, Exorcist was my
every
first
Stephen
one.
King movie, like Cujo, Christine, Salem's Lot, all that stuff. I was watching as a young kid. And to make matters worse, my dad would find ways to exploit that and scare me.
No wonder you're
so
fucked up.
My dad totally. Yeah, I know, right? My dad totally loved to scare me. So, like, I remember when I watched Cujo for the first time, I was just like, oh, big fluffy dog, why is he so crazy? And my parents explained what rabies was and. So that night,
better rabies
I was kind of flipped
scabies.
Out because I love dogs. And my dad, I had gone to sleep and my dad, their bedroom was adjacent to mine. And he went into his closet and started like scratching on the walls, making like spooky noises like bats.
You're that rude.
And I was completely losing my dad. I was completely losing my mind. And my dad is just like totally in the closet, like bent over, cracking up. That's just,
I knew
that
I
was
loved
my
your
childhood,
dad.
Like completely desensitized to this kind of stuff.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That is amazing.
My sister can attest to this kind of stuff. We just crack up over the crazy crap my dad did to us.
That
is he just loved to scare us so much.
That is so amazing. Exactly. There you go. So, Beth, when did you realize that it was a little bit more than just liking horror movies, that it was like a thing? I mean, that it was, you know, that you were not the norm.
Yeah. I definitely think when I started tracking everything in an Excel spreadsheet, I realized I was unusual about it. And then also it became kind of such a ritual at that point when I started recording it. I was like, now I have to take this seriously. I got to buckle down and start watching more. Like, I need to.
So when was this? Was this like
the prior year and the next year?
Were you like in high school or were you like in college by then or?
That was more like college time, maybe even a little bit after that. Yeah, but I mean, I knew that I liked horror. I've always been a huge Halloween fan. My brother's birthday is on Halloween, so as a kid, Halloween was like the best holiday because it was a combination of trick-or-treating and dressing up and going out at night, which, again, with strict parents, kind of an unusual thing. But then also, my brother, being 4 years older, would have all of his friends over, and there'd be a big party when I came back, and on top of all the candy, there'd be cake, so it was such a great holiday. And then knowing that I also loved and felt like I wasn't really supposed to be watching horror movies, but I loved them. So I knew, you know, ever since the time I was a kid that I loved them. In fact, I remember watching Are You Afraid of the Dark? I think was on Nickelodeon at the time, like in the early 90s. And I remember turning off all the lights and like sneaking up to my parents' bedroom and watching that on their like black and white TV and then getting scared enough that I had to put the Golden Girls on afterwards just to like erase it. You know,
to cleanse the palate.
Because old ladies talking about having sex isn't scary enough.
I think Blanche is pretty scary, but so you... Your whole horror movie, like, watching, like, marathons that you do leading up to Halloween, when did that start?
I think that's when it was a little bit before, like, probably about 10 years ago. So it was probably not long after I got out of college when I finally didn't have homework at night and could dedicate some serious time to watching movies.
How many movies are in your... How many movies are in your Excel sheet right now?
I think close to 400. So I should probably mention that I actually don't allow myself to watch horror movies at all between, like, usually it's like the first week after November all the way until like the middle of August. So I only let myself watch horror movies from mid-August until early November after Halloween. So it is purely like something I associate with fall and like, usually that first day in August where it starts to get chilly that I like want to run out and get a pumpkin spice latte, get a blanket, and start watching horror movies.
Oh, you're so basic, so, except not like, basic.
It is that.
I was gonna say.
It is only
basic
during that time.
And your pumpkin spice lattes.
It's only or hot cider.
During
that time that like. I really indulge and I try to watch like one a day. Like I sometimes don't always finish them, but I'm pretty much always able to watch some bit of a horror movie every day during that period of the year.
I've watched a bunch of movies with you, Beth, and I think I have a pretty good idea, but just for reference and for the rest of the discussion, what genre of horror movie is your favorite?
Definitely 70s horror. And I really love 70s Italian horror.
So, Fulci stuff and that kind of like zombie, like Ultimo Mundo Cannibale, that kind of thing? Or do you mean like the tamer stuff, like Vincent Price kind of
thing? No, like Giallo. No, definitely the Mario Bava, Dario Argento.
The real deal.
All of that kind of stuff. And then everything from the U.S. too, from around that time period, pretty much it can't go wrong. I mean, it can go wrong.
Yeah.
But it very rarely goes wrong.
And even if it goes wrong, it's always entertaining, especially from that time.
It's always entertaining. Yeah. It's always weirdly 70s.
Yes.
So
exactly.
There's always that.
So then based on that, I'm going to guess that your favorite movie is probably Suspiria. Because out of all the Italian movies,
number one.
Because out of all the Italian movies, Suspiria has to be my favorite movie as well from that genre. So
yeah,
Suspiria is a great movie.
Claudine, I've never seen Suspiria.
Oh, you have to. That movie's great. No, that movie is great.
I'm gonna get stabbed.
And you know what's interesting? I was introduced to that movie.
I'm going to run out and watch it.
I was introduced to that movie via Fangoria, actually, which is totally weird. This is like 1992 or 93. They had a story about Suspiria. So I'd never heard of the movie. I went out and got it, thinking it would be like a Fangoria, Gore Zone kind of movie. And it totally isn't. I mean, it's a horror movie, I guess, by definition. But it's just super creepy, super spooky. And it has such an Italian 70s flair to it. It's just, the music is amazing. Yeah. So,
the music is amazing. Goblin obviously always provides a good soundtrack.
Yeah,
the colors are intense and rich, and they make you feel uneasy. It's a very slow-paced movie, so it's not for people that aren't willing to put in the time for good payoff. Like, at times, I definitely watched it with people that are not as into horror, and I feel like I'm constantly looking at them to see if they're still interested, because there's definitely...
Long
stretches of time where not a lot is happening. But that makes it better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah,
It is a superb, superb movie. You should watch it, Claudine. Just make sure that Jim's not around. Because I think he would be like, this is stupid.
That he is or is not.
This is stupid that he is not. Because, like Beth said, you have to be able to be open to the idea of this, especially in the 70s in Italy, the buildup of this creepiness that may not deliver a blah, you know, like a crazy, like, you know, it's much more about the uneasiness of it and just feeling kind of creeped out by the whole thing. That movie reminds me a little bit, and I think that Stanley Kubrick probably grabbed a lot of little things from those Italian directors from back then. Just like things that, the way that he lays out the colors, and it just makes you slightly uneasy and you don't really know exactly why. And speaking of uneasy, that movie that Beth, we just watched the other night. What was that movie? When I was over there visiting you.
Barbarian Sound Studio?
Yes, exactly. Same thing. Great movie, incredibly creepy, very, very slow, but... just a very clever way of making you feel uneasy about things, the way that the film is edited, and it's, I mean, yeah, it's not the kind of movie.
It's also like, that movie is also very, you know, psychologically twisted. You're not really sure if he's dreaming or not dreaming, so you have to be open to that kind, you know, not being totally sure of what's actually happening.
Exactly.
Which I like, but it's not for everyone.
Exactly, exactly. Is there a horror movie out there, Beth, other than Suspiria, of course, now that we know that, that you think that everybody should watch? Like, you know, people are like, everybody should watch The Godfather. Everybody should watch Citizen Kane. Everybody should watch, like, Casablanca. Everybody should watch Forrest Gump. Nah. Hey, I just did a nod. Yeah. It's like 90s. what movie do you think that everybody should watch?
I feel like there's a couple. Definitely The Shining, I think, is an everybody movie.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't get so gory that people that, you know, are turned off by gore would be upset. Like, I think that's a movie that has something for everyone.
Yeah.
And is amazing. I mean, it's definitely my top five. I think Rosemary's Baby is also really... if somebody wants something just, like, a little spookier, I think Rosemary's Baby is really worth watching.
Yeah.
Also... like, out of semi-more recent movies, I think Seven is really good. I mean...
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That one, I think the, like, serial killing with like, purpose behind it, it definitely obviously goes... giving a bit of a nod to The Abominable Dr. Fives, another favorite of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think those are a few that I would definitely say everyone should see. Seven, obviously, is not for people that... can't handle some gore, but
that's a great, actually, you know,
those are the best classics.
I don't think of Seven as being a horror movie at all, which is interesting.
I think of it as a crime thriller. But
yeah, same here, which is weird, but now if you put it in the horror category,
it definitely is.
I think Kevin Spacey, I think Brad Pitt, I don't think horror, but yeah, it totally is.
Right, yeah.
It's one of the most gnarly crime thrillers I've seen,
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It crosses genres, and that's fine, you know.
Definitely, definitely.
Some of the best movies do.
Sure.
No, go ahead. Actually, you know what, Beth? Let's say that you want to welcome somebody to the brotherhood of horror movies, right? So,
yeah.
What do you, what would you recommend them? I mean, what, you, okay, you say.
Okay, so beyond all those that we talked about, I would say you got to watch Halloween. You got to at least get to Halloween 3. Yeah. I feel like that's a.
So that's three movies already.
Watch series. Yes.
Okay, so because I have to watch
that's
all
such
three.
A critical part of the horror movie genre. Like, you yeah. need to know about 80s slasher movies. I think Halloween's
but,
probably the best series. Friday the 13th is also very good, but there's a lot of
I was
going to
say, what do you think of that? Yeah.
But wait.
I love it. I love even.
Which one is the one? Which one is the. Which Oh, boy. Which one is the Halloween that that has the masks and stuff? Like, put on the mask. That's Halloween 3, right? Or is that Halloween 2?
That's Halloween 3. Yeah, no, that's 3.
So people yeah. should watch that? That movie's terrible.
No, that movie's amazing and probably my favorite out of all of them.
No! My goodness.
Fight.
No, I love the first one. I don't know.
I love that one.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I definitely think those series are good. Like, newer movies, I think I would put on Your Next. That movie
oh,
came out
so
a couple
good.
Years ago. I thought it was great. I love the soundtrack, too. What was that movie by Ty West, House of the Devil? That's like set in the 80s.
Yeah.
That one was
that,
great.
Talk about that movie sets up a really creepy vibe throughout, too.
I haven't
totally.
Seen that one.
Yes. Oh, go out and watch that one. I think Rec, the very first Rec, which is, I think, from Spain, I thought was fantastic. They redid it as Quarantine in the U.S. I had that right. But, yeah, I think that movie was amazing.
Yeah, you showed me that one the last time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We did watch that.
Maybe it was Quarantine. Yeah. May not have been Rec, but you showed it.
Whatever. They're both good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Goodbye Mommy was also more recent, and that was a very good movie.
Goodbye Mommy.
I love stuff like, Good Night Mommy.
Oh, Good Night Mommy. I don't know. What is that?
Oh, gosh. It's good. It's I think it's from Austria. It's
creepy kids and their mom.
Story about some creepy kids and a mom, and I don't want to get too into it. You could just watch it, but it's got great cinematography. It totally keeps you uneasy through the whole movie. It kind of reminds me slightly of Funny Games. So if you like Funny Games, which I know you do,
I absolutely
you'll probably
love
like it.
Funny Games. That really is. I think that Funny Games is a good movie, and for personal experience, because I used to have a friend that we used to watch movies, horror movies, every Thursday night. And a lot of times I was like, we should watch this one. And she would say, like, oh, I don't want to read subtitles, because in horror movies, if you read subtitles, it's not as scary. But we ended up watching the original Funny Games, the German one, and that was the first time she actually read subtitles. And the movie's slow enough that I think you can definitely do it. Such a good movie. Such a good movie to get started with. Like, if you have any issues reading subtitles in general, just watch that movie first, subtitles, and then you can just go and start watching all the crazy Korean ones without a problem. I think it's a good introduction to subtitles.
That's true. However, if you don't want to watch subtitles and you refuse.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fuse. I actually think the Funny Games remake in English is actually pretty good. Like, I'm not usually a big fan of that, but same with Quarantine. I think Quarantine was a good remake of Rec, and I think the Funny Games American version is actually really good too, and I like the actors that they picked. Has Naomi Watts.
Really?
Which is kind of, I love when real celebrities do horror movies, because it's so uncommon, so. But that one's actually good. There's so many. I was going to mention Carnival of Souls, too, because I do like older movies as well.
What about Freaks?
That's a really good one. No, not a big fan.
Really?
Yeah, I won't go. First of all, the movies from like way back. Like I should mention that Dan got me this book for Christmas like 6 years ago. It's called The 300, and I want to make sure I get this right. It's called Horror 333 Films to Scare You to Death. I've actually been working my way through that book, checking them all off, and I always force myself. It's done by decades, so it's a really nice, it's a good reference book, but it's also nice because you can easily pick films from different decades. Mm-hmm. So in each of my seasons of watching movies, I try to get one from like the 20s and 30s and 40s. But if it weren't for this book, I'd probably just skip all that altogether because I'm not such a fan of everything like pre-1960.
Really?
But,
I think that some of those old movies...
Yeah, I know, Freaks,
I just think that some of those old movies come equipped, pre-equipped with creepiness because they're so old. So a movie that old is already creepy to begin with.
And, that's true. I watched Freaks. M this year, which I thought was really good, but like... They're good for different reasons. I almost can't think of them like I think of a horror movie from after 1960s. Like, they don't actually scare me. Do they scare you?
The first time I saw Freaks, I was freaked out. Pun fully intended, saying... no, I just love the idea that... I love the idea that Freaks was, I don't know, early 30s. And the people that are the freaks in the movie are actually real circus freaks at the time. So there's people with no legs, and it just makes it super creepy because in the same way that Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first time I saw that and my friend told me, I didn't know if this was true or not, but at the time he told me, you know, when they were making the movie, the guys never change clothes and they never clean the set, so it smelled really bad and whatever. So it gives you an extra level of creepiness. And with Freaks, I think that the idea of just being surrounded by real life freaks and trying to make this movie when it's like it's already freaky as it is. So normally when I'm watching a horror movie, I can escape to the world of it's just a movie, it's okay. There's, you know, cameras there and there's like guys running around with water bottles. With a movie like that, that doesn't really exist. It is creepy even there because he was probably like some greasy dude with a camera that was probably a serial killer himself. And just that's what I like about the old movies is that nowadays, any movie today, you know, there's like a limo outside and, you know, everybody's staying in nice hotels. But back in the 70s and before, all those horror movies were super shitty productions by super shady people. You know, a lot of those people were like, just creepy dudes in really ill-fitting jeans from Walmart. You know? And there's nothing creepier than badly fitting jeans.
Yeah, it does add an extra element to it, for sure.
To me, it definitely does, which is why I love Freaks. The idea of thinking about in the 30s doing this, the beginning of the Depression, it's super creepy. So, anyway.
So, Beth, in your opinion, from what you've seen... what horror movie remakes are okay versus ones that just should have never, ever, ever
And that made? Includes horror...
Because you just talked about Funny Games and Rec both having pretty good American versions.
But so, like, include also, like, reboots and stuff like that. Not only movies that were, like, Korean and now there's an American version, but also, like, the remaking of Halloween or... The remaking of Psycho, I think is a fucking joke.
I'll agree there. I was not a big fan. I like Rob Zombie movies, like, The Devil's Rejects. I think he's done great stuff, but I would agree that the Halloween remake is not my favorite, for sure. I can't think offhand of other ones that, I don't know, do any come to your mind? I'm just curious.
What about the Evil Dead remake that came out a few years ago?
I haven't seen it.
What?
I haven't watched it yet. And I actually
liked it, and I want to know what you thought. So.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I will watch it, and I will let you know. I am not a big fan of the original, but I just am not a huge Evil Dead fan.
The new version plays like a real horror movie. It's not like campy Sam Raimi stuff.
Okay, the tree.
So
leaf,
it's like, it's like a real horror movie based on the characters. It's its own thing, and like I know a lot of people hated it, but I actually enjoyed it. So
okay,
what else?
You know, another one that I thought was actually Fairly Good was, didn't they redo...
Let the Right One In, that means?
Yeah, Let the Right One In, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They redid that as an American movie, yeah. Too, right?
It had Chloe.
I thought that remake was decent. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I liked the American version as much, but I didn't hate it.
Well, they're never quite as good, no. Right? But,
the book was... Yeah. Ugh, horrifyingly creepy. Like, there were scenes really? In the book that were not addressed in either movie, and it was just, like, gnarly as hell.
Maybe for the best.
Yeah.
Beth, any movies that you're looking forward to this holiday season, this Halloween season? Is there any good movies coming out?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really interested in Don't Breathe. I thought that looked pretty good. I don't remember if this came out this year or not, but I thought The Green Room was pretty good.
That was really good. I just saw it a couple of weeks ago. That was gnarly.
Right? Oh my scary. Because I always think that movies are especially scary if they could actually happen to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, home invasion movies and, you know, The Green Room is not a home invasion movie, but you can definitely see how something like that easily could happen.
Yeah.
That just like ups the fear for me.
Green Room was like the weirdest, most honest portrayal of the punk scene that I've ever seen. Like, I know it's off topic in terms of the whole like horror thing, but
no,
I felt like you're right. I mean,
ruins a movie.
Well, I think you're right on.
I just think it ruins a movie if they get it. If they don't get it right, if they don't get something like that right, it just totally ruins the movie. We're all, the three of us, very familiar with the punk rock scene, the 80s and 90s. We would definitely, like, automatically be able to tell, oh, they just got it totally wrong. But if they get it right, like we talked about with The Lost Boys or something like that, then you're just like, this is awesome. Then it stays true to form, and then you can, like what you were saying earlier, this could happen to me. This looks real.
Yeah.
As opposed to, dude, a guy would never put a safety pin across his nose. That's retarded. Nobody would ever do that. Unless it's like 1976, and even then.
Yeah, no.
When I watched that movie, I was like, oh my God, that could have happened to me at Rebo's in Dayton. It was so
Oh, for sure. Like, the whole idea that you're touring with your band and you run out, you're so low on money, you can't get home, so you get desperate to take a show and just to make a little bit of money so you can pay for gas to get back. Like, that could happen to anyone. Before you know it, you're in this shady club of skinheads and it could happen to any of us.
I have two stories to tell you. I have a story about ending up in a house full of skinheads. And then I have a story about people really desperate to make money on tour. And I don't know which one to tell you.
You should tell us those.
Okay, well, the first one is...
Maybe you can give us a quick overview of both.
I was dating a girl. This would be quick. I was dating a girl, and she asked me... you know, we were in college, and she was like, hey, I really want to go back to my, to my hometown. Can you give me a ride there? She didn't have a car. And then we can, like, hang out there, whatever, spend the night at my parents, and then come back in the morning. So I was like, yeah, all right, that sounds cool. You know, we were kind of dating, whatever. I drove over there, and she was like, oh, it's right here. And we go in, and it's a house filled with skinheads. It's just as crazy, straight out of a movie, skinhead house. And I had a mohawk at the time. And if anybody doesn't know, you know, the punks and the skins, they don't really get along too well. I thought I was going to get my ass handed to me. I ended up going back to my car and waiting for her. And I ended up basically spending the night in my car. And she actually asked me not to go to her parents' house, but to go to her boyfriend's house, who was a skinhead. So I drove her there just for that. So that's the story.
That's the story. Is this anyone I know?
Yeah.
I think I know who it might be.
Yo, I think you definitely know who that person is, because you definitely know her. So,
all right.
The other one is when we were in tour in Europe, we heard this story from this band from Belgium who was driving, you know, touring around, and they stopped at a gas station, and everybody gets out, you know, at the gas station, and you go use the bathroom, you buy whatever, Snickers bars or whatever, some water, you get back in the van, and then they kept going. Like, half an hour later, they realized their bass player is not in the van, so he got out and never got back in, and because there's so many people, they're like, oh, man, so they turn around. And they get back to the gas station, and the dude is sitting there in his underwear, like no shoes, no nothing, just his underwear, drinking beer. He's just drinking beer. He's drunk. And they're like, wow, man. And he was like, well, you know, I realized as soon as it happened what had happened. So I thought it's just a matter of time. So I'm just going to sit here and wait. And then I waited and waited and waited. And then you guys weren't coming. So I sold my clothes and bought beer.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I have no idea who he sold his clothes to.
Yeah, that's the big question. Yeah, exactly. That's the mystery.
Who wants to walk around with a pair of, like, dirty jeans? And, yeah, so he's he proceeded to get drunk with the beer that he bought. So there you go. That was,
so both of those situations could have totally turned into
a horror real-life
horror movie.
Exactly. Yeah. They both start as horror movies. They just end up in being my lame life.
Isn't it great that we manage to avoid horror movies in our lives as often as we do?
Yeah, I mean, has
any... Think about how often they could happen, and then you luckily, you know, just, you luck out, and it goes a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, even things that happen in a horror movie can happen to you, but they don't turn into a horror movie because it just kind of stops there. You know, like creepy things and things moving by themselves in my house and stuff like that, like they happen sometimes, but it never goes past that.
Right.
My house, dude, my house growing up in Colombia was haunted by the spirit of a native South American, like, crazy Indian chief, dude. Yeah, a crazy Indian dude, straight out of, like, friggin' Poltergeist, came to my house and, like, knocked on the door and told my mom there was, like, an Indian burial and stuff in her house and whatever.
It
was
creepy.
Absolutely. Oh,
it's, my God.
Yeah. But nobody has died or anything. I mean, I've never been chased with anybody holding a knife or any other kind of sharp instrument, or even a writing utensil.
You just made me think of. You made me think of a couple more movies right there that I think we need to address, which
Go
is
for it.
The Orphanage and Devil's Backbone.
Please talk about The Orphanage.
It's what's his face? Guillermo del Toro. Thank you. I don't love all of his movies, I will say that, but I do like a lot of them, and I think The Orphanage and Devil's Backbone are the best of them. And The Orphanage is just, if you like ghost stories, like creepy, like I know a lot of people, they like horror movies, but they really only like ghost movies. Like they don't want to watch movies like Saw that have torture, and they don't really like home invasion movies or all the movies we were just talking about that could actually happen. So they like to go away to a fantasy world, and ghost movies are good for that. And The Orphanage is a fantastic one. Also subtitled, so you have to be willing to watch that and read the screen. But it's basically like an old orphanage that has ghosts in it. I mean, that's...
What is there not to like?
Fantastic.
Sounds like Cincinnati Musical.
What did you say, Claudine?
Is Cincinnati Music Hall haunted?
Oh my God. Cincinnati Music Hall was built on top of both an orphanage and a sanitarium and a graveyard for both of those. Washington Park is a graveyard. Every time they do construction on Music Hall, they find new bodies. So these people I know from work are actual paranormal investigators, and they conduct haunted tours. Of music.
That's amazing, first of all.
Next time you come to town, you should take one of these tours.
I will be there in March and sign me up.
Okay, I don't know if I think they do it year-round. I know they totally ramp it up around Halloween. And actually, Music Hall is getting a lot of construction right now, so it may be on pause. Mm. But the next time you're in town, look it up.
Okay.
It's like $20 or $30.
You think when they're doing construction, it would be even a better time. Like all the spirits would be.
If they allow them, I don't even know. But it's not a super scary tour, but it's just 2 hours of ghost stories that's based on real fact that you can look up. Like Music Hall, like one of the most beautiful buildings in Cincinnati, was built on top of an orphanage and a sanitarium.
That's insane. Well, if you guys ever wanted to talk for another hour about ghost stories, I'm down because I love them. And I love the idea of them happening. I've never seen a ghost before, but, like, I can't get enough. I want to know all the stories.
You want to be a Ghostbuster?
I mean, I don't know that I want to bust them. I'm pretty cool with them.
You're afraid of no ghosts.
Actually, I think I'm afraid, but I still want them to exist. Also, Devil's Backbone. Have you guys seen that one?
Nope.
Is that Guillermo del Toro, too? Or is that something different?
I think so.
Oddly enough, he's Benicio del Toro.
So. Somebody fact check that. Let us know.
It's Benicio del Toro's directorial debut.
Directorial debut.
Perhaps. Yeah, you guys haven't seen that one?
No.
No.
Oh man! Okay,
but I can tell you this though.
This is good. I'm getting a list for you together.
I can tell you this: Devil's Backbone is the name, is the fake name of a downhill like course for rollerblading in Cincinnati in the movie Airborne. I'm just gonna drop the mic right here. I'm out. I just made the awesomest reference to the shittiest movie ever made.
Oh my god.
I don't know about people really believing. Actually, I just don't. I don't think that people really believe that Beth.
That movie in each episode of your podcast.
Somehow, we'll bring up Airborne in every single episode. I don't know that people will believe that Beth is necessarily an expert in horror movies, but me referencing Airborne, obviously, I am an expert of all movies. I vote for the Oscars. I'm in the Academy. Just based on that, actually. My knowledge of Airborne alone got me into the Academy. Okay, listen. I know we could keep going on and on and on and on about horror movies. And I think that I encourage people to contact us and let us know what they think. It's zoominhandspodcast@gmail.com for the email.
She's on the Zoomin' Enhance Facebook page.
Oh, there you go. Go to the Zoomin' Enhance Facebook page and like us there. And then leave us a message if you want us to talk a little bit more about horror movies past Halloween. See how you feel about it. Because if you do then, we can definitely have Beth again and then we can get a little bit more in-depth into specific movies. If that's okay with Beth, of course.
Of course. Wait, but before my part is done here, can I just give one final recommendation for all the diehard horror movie fans out there for Halloween? Because I feel like we talked about a lot of like must-see movies for just, you know, people that are getting into it. And I just want to do one more for the diehards.
For the diehards.
And that is Shivers.
Shivers.
Which it's a Cronenberg movie. I don't remember if it's late 70s or early 80s, I think late 70s maybe.
75.
It's also called They Came From Within. Thank you. Really good one and kind of lesser known. So just throwing that out there for the big fans. But thank you for having me join, and I'd be happy to come back if there's interest.
So that's awesome. Shivers, They Came From Within, 1975, David Cronenberg. Beth, please, come on. It's awesome to have you here. Thank you so much for taking some time of your, I am sure, busy schedule to talk to us. And then, like I said, stop by our Facebook page, which I think is /Zoominhandz. I don't know, do a search. We're in there somewhere. And just let us know if you would like more horror movie talk. My goodness, we're running out of time. Actually, we have run out of time here. But. Beth, I want to thank you once again so much for joining us.
Yes! And then, yay!
BSing with us.
So fun.
And stuff.
Thank you. Anytime I can spend an hour talking about horror movies, I am down.
Absolutely. And like I said, I mean, maybe next time we can actually spend a little bit more time on specific topics and specifically dive into movies, as opposed to this was just kind of like an overall, like, you know, conversation about horror movies in general.
Yeah. So you gotta give the smorgasbord of horror. Gotta start there. It's a good place to start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and also we wanted to talk about a bunch of TV stuff today, but we didn't get to it. So next time we'll get to talk about Luke Cage, even though by then it'll be out for a while. I want to talk about HBO's Westworld and the movie. I want to like have a little bit of a comparison there. I want to talk about the beginning of the new Flash season and Supergirl, and I want to hear from Claudine why I should watch American Horror Story. So maybe you can tune in to watch, to listen rather, Claudine try to convince me to watch American Horror Story, which she's tried to on many, many, many occasions. But this time around, we'll be recording, so it'll be official, and maybe, just maybe, I'll listen to her. But I am Dan Skullcrusher.
Beth, have you seen any of those?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. I watched all of last season.
Okay.
Which I thought was good. I loved Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And I watched the first season, and part of the, like, I really liked the mental hospital season, but, like, lost steam about halfway through. So yeah. I don't know why American Horror Story does that to me a little bit every year, where I get really into it, and then I guess it's more like two-thirds of the way through I kind of lose it, so.
You are not alone. That happens to everybody. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So
that much for that.
I'm gonna go for the season.
That means I'm not watching it, then.
I'm making it through, so I'm going to give it one more go.
That means I'm not watching.
You should.
Nah, I'm not gonna watch it then. What, what
you're
for?
Not watching it.
So the two-thirds?
No, they're
two-thirds
always successful in creating a very creepy vibe and, like, interesting topic.
Yeah, but then two-thirds of the way through, I'm gonna give up.
It might be different if you're able to crash it, because this is one of those shows I watch week to week because I want to stay current. So I maybe, you know, if I were crashing it on Netflix, I might be able to get through it a little easier, but I think every season has its moment where there's like two or three episodes where you're just like, oh my God.
So I want to thank Beth once again, Claudine, as always, thank you very much. And like Claudine said, check us out on Facebook, do a search for Zoomin' and Hands and Gort from The Day the Earth Stood Still should come up. We will be back in 2 weeks, right, Claudine? And we'll talk about...
Sounds good.
TVs, movies, science fiction, comic books, whatever. So say we all.
So say we all.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.